And now, the Big D and Bubba Weekly Podcast.
Big D and Bubba, they have a show 5 days a week, but they don't get to say everything that's on their mind, so they have an extra one, and that's how we get the podcast,
the podcast, the podcast.
Big D and Bubba
podcast, the podcast, the podcast.
Oh, yeah.
Big D and Bubba's podcast.
Before we dive into everything, we do want to let you know that at Subway, the sweet onion chicken teriyaki and new rotisserie-style chicken sandwiches are handcrafted with chicken raised without antibiotics. Both of these sandwiches are better for you because they're low in fat and they're delicious, and that's kind of the big deal. That's what you care about the most, right?
Mm-hmm.
Sweet onion chicken teriyaki sandwich has new teriyaki glazed chicken strips and tangy fat-free sweet onion sauce. And Subway's new rotisserie style chicken is made with tender, juicy, hand-pulled all white meat chicken. And you can make them even more delicious with crisp green peppers, red onions, lettuce, tomatoes on a freshly baked bread, just the way you love it. The Subway Sandwich Shop, fresh is what we do.
Hey, today we're excited. Our bud, an old radio friend of ours and just friend in general, Dean Warfield is with us. He is, we've known each other for, well, we worked at the same station.
About a decade?
Has it been that long? Yeah, I guess so.
Close to it.
Yeah.
Time flies because when you don't know what you're doing.
We left that place in, at least like what, 2009, I think is whenever we worked together. So. Patrick says, no, I never know years.
Comes like Patrick, he's got it written down.
Come on, Rain Man, what you got?
What you got, Rain Man?
That station until November.
We can't hear you.
2011.
2011. Right, and he was.
He was there. You left right before we did.
By the way, Patrick, don't bump the camera. It's right.
Great.
Just why don't you scoot over about 6 inches?
There and then you're going to complain that my mic is too close to that mic.
Or why don't you just go to this mic? No.
Really? You want me on a mic that's not my mic? The Super Patrick is Loud processor on it?
Yeah. All right.
So
2011 is when we last worked together?
Yeah, probably. You probably were there until early that year, 2011.
It was a blur at the very end. Yeah.
You know, that was 5 years ago. 5 years
half
ago.
Half a decade.
That's crazy.
In radio, it is.
Were you like, I remember talking to you in the kitchen of the old place.
Mm-hmm.
And you're like, what's going on? What's going on around here? And I was like, beats me, man. I don't know.
Oh, with all the rumors.
We had been there a long time, and then Dean showed up, and it was, I don't know. By that point, it was already a very weird place to be.
It was weird.
It was a very, very, very
secretive and vibey, weird
very
vibe.
Bad corporate culture.
Yeah.
And everybody thought, you know what I mean?
A lot of backstabbing.
So Dean had been there about 3 weeks, and he's like, something's not right around here. Like, everybody's walking around like they're about to get shot.
But, you know, that's not radio corporate culture. That's like corporate culture all over now.
That's probably true.
When I started there.
I'm sorry. Can you make your voice deeper? It's weird. It hurts my
really
ears.
Really high-pitched. And
when I started.
Thank you.
Oh, my God.
Back in 93, the company that owned it, really took care of its people. And it was, you know, what do you need
to do your job? I'm sorry. Now, as a business manager, I want to get you saying you can, as a company, you can take care of employees?
Make them happy. And they want to come to work.
Doesn't that seem like a bad way to run a business?
Yeah.
They want to work. They want to see everything succeed because they're being treated well. And then the
I think you're
station,
wrong about that.
This is a long time ago. You'll read about it in the history books. But when a new company came in and it was a huge conglomerate and everything went bottom line, then a lot of what had been an asset on the books, like air talent, turned into a liability. And they thought, well, we can do this a lot cheaper and get the same results. And, you know, people weren't treated the same.
How's that working out for them?
Well, you know, everybody got cut right at Thanksgiving.
Yeah,
we're going to have to let you go.
Everybody always panicked whenever, oh, no, we have a holiday coming up.
Yes, 4 days before Christmas, we're going to have to fire some folks.
Yeah.
But it goes beyond.
It's always right before big extended holidays because it doesn't become news.
Yeah.
You know, it gets washed under because everybody's in the middle of the Thanksgiving hype or Christmas or Easter.
Oh, the biggest layoff our former company ever had was on Inauguration Day 2009.
Why would they? they do it on Inauguration Day?
Nobody was talking about anything but Inauguration Day of the first black president in the United States.
Amazing.
There was so
how many
the
people
news
got fired?
Completely. Oh, it was like thousands.
Yeah.
And the news got completely buried.
Yeah.
It
Amazing.
It was very intentional. But it goes beyond layoffs and salaries and all those things. It's just it's how you treat people. Like there's that secretive, don't tell anybody this kind of culture, and you know, no one knows what's going on at the level above them, and it's just
and that makes for a real tense workplace.
Oh, absolutely.
That eventually can turn hostile between people. I mean, you start getting paranoid about what's going on. And
this isn't
what's
the government. We don't have like military secrets. So when you find out your boss has been lying to you, you never look at him the same way again.
Yep.
You know.
The only reason that a boss has to lie to somebody is if it is a life or death situation, that kind of thing. But honestly, if you treat people with respect and you treat them right, they're going to do you right.
Here's my thing. Is in most cases, your boss isn't really special. Like there's not a reason that they are there. They're only there because they've been there longer and they just kept getting promoted and they knew what to say or what not to say.
Mm-hmm.
And they
usually
promoted themselves.
Usually more that thing, knowing what to say.
Yeah, and they just promote themselves up, 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 up. And so there are a lot of people below who are really smart, really sharp and talented, but they're being guided by someone who isn't.
And wants to protect their job.
Yeah.
By keeping everybody quiet.
Yeah, so they don't hire people that are overqualified either.
So it's just
that's another thing, because they always get into that. Well, I'm sorry, you're too overqualified. No, I'm not. I need a job. That's why I'm applying, right? Isn't that it? If you're willing to work for the whatever that job is, you're not overqualified for it. You know what you're applying for. Yeah. I hate whenever corporate culture does it. You're overqualified. No, you're an insecure manager. Mm-hmm. I'm not overqualified. You're underqualified.
Yep.
Hire me. I need a job. I hate that.
One time I told somebody they were overqualified for a job that I was hiring for, but it's really because I didn't like the guy. So I have been guilty of saying that once, but
Can you legally say, I just don't think we would work together well?
I'm sure you can legally say it, but it's going to, you know,
bite you?
Yeah, it's just going to be one of those things people whisper about. But it was easier. It was easier to just go, yeah, man, you're just so overqualified for this position. You're not going to be happy in this position.
So you'll be here for a while and leave, and then you know, have time.
There's always a little bit of that, but you know, no, this was just a guy I really didn't like that wanted a job that he was really, really overqualified for. You know.
Yeah, and you just didn't feel comfortable saying I don't like you.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Listen, seriously, you annoy me. The sound of your voice really, really annoys me.
Or in HR speak, you won't fit the corporate culture.
Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah, you like that?
So can we talk about what you're doing now?
Sure.
Or not doing?
Not doing. I'm not doing radio right now.
I'm sorry.
I was same kind of thing. It was just out of the blue. I had taken a radio station here in Nashville. And took it from nothing to where it was actually moving in the right direction. And I was the one that was conservative on the moves. You know, I didn't want to move too quickly because we were moving up. We were doing well. And as soon as that starts happening, people tend to want to, oh, let's do this. You know, this will even make it better. It'll even make it better. And that's not always the case. You can't knee jerk in certain situations until you have room to possibly drop in the ratings. And then, you know, once you're way up, you can experiment. But, you know, out of the blue, I guess it was budgets. I don't know. Maybe I red flagged on the payroll. I really don't know. But I am not with them. And I you know, wish everybody the best of luck. So I do voice work. You know, I'll probably
and voice work is radio. Like doing commercials.
I do the commercials. I do
like if you're watching even on TV, the guy doing the like, hey, come on, it's truck month and all that kind of stuff.
I do Titans radio, which is pretty big. You know, Tennessee Titans, and that's a lot of this. But
here, do it, and I'll put some echo on your voice. Just give me some kind of.
And now, Titans radio.
See, that's that? That's so, pretty impressive.
Is that pretty good?
You want me to do mine?
Yeah, let's hear it.
And now, I wish. Have you ever thought about, so much voice envy.
Yeah, me too. Have you ever thought about just doing that? Full time?
It's
doing
tough.
Radio?
A lot of people are trying to do it. You know, you've got a lot of great voices in radio that are no longer in radio because of, you know, everybody's out of a job and everybody's trying voice work. And it's a very crowded field. And one of the guys I worked with at the station we all worked at together is in Studio City, California, doing great. I mean, he's doing movie trailers.
Who's
that? Bill Lloyd. Is his name. He did the Lego movie trailer. I hear him on TV all the time.
That's cool.
But not Bill Lloyd, the country singer, but another Bill Lloyd. But yeah, it's very cool. I mean, he's knocking it down. But it's kind of like getting a hit song. You know, you have to play the politics and be in the right place to
get
it going.
But once you get one, the door's open.
You've got your name out there, right. And I've done some mid-level stuff, you know, that's pretty cool. There's just not enough of it. And you make a go at it, and you audition a lot, and if you hit one, well, good. But it's a tough field.
Mm-hmm. I want to get into that.
Yeah,
my
be really
big
good.
Old deep voice.
Yeah, you'd be good at
yeah.
it.
You don't need a deep voice to do it. They don't like deep voices that much. Listen, think of all the commercials you hear on TV or on the radio where, you know, it's just listen to the voice behind the commercial, and you won't hear the big, deep movie voice.
You do sometimes. I hear a lot of celebrities
I
doing
do.
It.
I do. I recognize the voices.
Mike,
yeah.
I hear Mike Rowe.
If Mike Rowe would retire, there would be a lot of business for people.
He does.
He does.
The guy who's Dirty Jobs is everywhere.
He's got a he really does.
He
he's
sounds
great
trustworthy.
Delivery.
That's the thing.
Because he's conversational, and that's a very difficult thing to do, and he's great at it.
I always liked the guy who used to do the Disney trailers. It was the opposite
the
of
the one at the beginning of the.
It's this guy right here. It's you know everything's gonna be great, even though someone dies in the first 10 minutes. It's one of those.
Or
things.
They lose a parent.
Yeah,
fish.
Exactly. You know,
I said parent fish, not parrot fish.
But I always thought that guy had a really, really interesting take because it was different. He sounds like the happiest person alive.
Well, that's Disney.
You got any great radio stories? Like some stuff behind the scenes, like good, maybe a country, because what you were doing, you were working, your last job was at a classic country station, mm-hmm. and you would have all of these legendary artists come in, and you know you heard some good stories. You got to have something you can share.
You know, I've heard a lot of great stories, and I've got a lot of great stories that I couldn't tell, I'll tell you.
Pardon me. John Willard says Mark Elliott is the Disney voice.
Is John listening?
Yeah.
Oh, great.
Yeah. So
yeah.
There you go. I'm sorry. Go on.
I can tell you.
Speaking of great voices,
one of the best ever.
I can tell you a story or two from way back that's pretty funny. I used to do a contest at a station every time Lynyrd Skynyrd would come to Nashville. I'd do a contest called Who's That Mystery Skynyrd? And I would get a very famous country star to sing a line from Freebird and speed it up. And, you know, you play it on Monday, and then on Tuesday it's a little more clear. And by Friday you should know who it is, and you guess, and you win tickets. Chet Atkins, God rest his soul, I got him to come in one time, and I actually had to teach him how to play Freebird.
What?
And I have the recording of the two of us sitting in a production room, just a little studio, and he's going, Dane, I don't think those are the right chords. And I'm going, but that's the way they wrote it. Well, no.
No, listen, I'm the greatest guitar player ever.
And
so,
it was, you know, if I leave here tomorrow, would you still remember me? That was one of the greatest honors I ever had, teaching Chet how to play Freebird. And I will also say, and I will name a name, Ronnie Dunn came in and did not know the song Freebird.
What?
Yes. Did not know
the
song.
In Ronnie Dunn's defense, he does not know the lyrics to his own song.
That is true.
That is true. Ronnie Dunn comes in with lyric sheets and a computer in case he needs them.
But so does Reba McEntire.
So
do a lot of people. I mean, the worst thing in the world is to be a singer and forget your own lyrics. But it happens more often than you could ever imagine. How many times when you're watching a concert do you see them hold the microphone out and go, hey, sing along? yeah, because they
forgot
words.
That part. Yeah.
And they're counting on you to get them back into where they need to pick up in the song. So sing louder. On those points, don't just get quiet going, oh, I hate when they make me sing. No, they're needing you. They need your help.
Sheryl Crow did that when she came in.
When she came in, she couldn't remember the words to her biggest hits.
It's just all I want to do is have some. I knew the words.
But, you know, the verses of that song are pretty tough to remember. Like,
yeah, I don't know those.
That's amazing.
Didn't you write it? Yeah, but I wrote it 25 years ago. Well, that's good. That's true. Because you remember the stuff you wrote 25 years ago?
Mm-hmm.
Nope. No, I don't.
Yeah, but you sing it every weekend.
Yeah, you ought to have it memorized by now. We all have it memorized. How come you don't have it memorized?
No. Yeah, Ronnie came in and he had
We had an lyrics? iPad. We had an iPad set up right in front of him with the lyrics.
No, he didn't know the words.
Bless his heart.
Dude, he's great, though.
It's all that hair product, man. It's just sinking in.
It's all that ink from that tattoo on his arm.
Giant tattoo.
How did he get some ink? I didn't see it.
Oh, the cowboy one?
Yeah, I haven't seen it.
Cowboy written on his forearm.
How long has he had it?
Oh, years now.
Years, yeah.
Several, for a while.
Oh, he got it in his 50s.
It's awful.
He like, turned 50 and got a giant tattoo.
I was honest with him. I was like, why did you do that? Because it's huge, right across his arm.
Last time he came in, D took a Sharpie and wrote cowboy on his forearm real big, so it looked just like Ronnie's. It looked just like Ronnie's if I had done it, because, in fact, I did it, okay? And so he's just standing there acting like nothing happened, you know, just waiting for Ronnie to go, that's some nice ink you got there.
Here, I'll show you, Dean. I'll show you right there. I wish I could show everybody else on camera, but you can Google yourself, Ronnie Dunn tattoo, and you'll see it. It's a big, giant thing on his forearm.
Enormous. It's so hideous.
Okay, here's the cowboy truth, right? We do this thing called the churn and burn years ago for St. Jude, and we were riding Sea-Doos. We started at Riverfront in Nashville and rode 480 miles on rivers all the way to Memphis. And we raced.
Was it you and Kix, wasn't it?
It was Kix and Ronnie and myself and Terry McBride and some other people. And I saw Ronnie get thrown off his, and he hit a tugboat wake and just flew through the air. And when he came up out of the water, he looked like a drowned rat. His hair was flying.
Look like you threw a cat in a water and came out.
I'd popped my knee or something on a wake, and I was going to set out one leg, and he said, yeah, get on my bus, man. Let's take my bus. Here's the cowboy side of Ronnie. We get on his bus. He has a nurse/masseuse laying out a cheese and fruit tray.
Uh-huh. Oh, nice.
That's your cowboy life right there.
Yeah, it's hardcore.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
Hardcore.
And why wouldn't you, though?
If cowboys had money. That's it, man.
Dude, I'd be all about that.
Yeah, no kidding.
If I had that money, I would have a bus that flew.
Dude, his barn's nicer than any house I've ever owned.
That's true.
It's beautiful. Yes,
that's the case with several people. I've been in Tim McGraw's barn, nicer than my house. I've been in Luke Bryan's barn is like...
Yeah, I think it's like this. It's the pinnacle of barns.
It's not only nicer than my house. I would easily live there and pay rent. It's just one of those things. It's like, you want to live in my barn? Yeah, dude.
Well, they say barn, really, but it's not a barn. It's not a barn.
On the outside, you look at it and you go, oh, that's a barn. And then you go in and you go, is this a barn?
Yeah.
It's not a barn.
Yeah.
It's an event house.
It's a party house.
Yeah.
It's a place that
it's
you
a
can
big
have
open
parties
space.
So that,
yes.
Yeah, so that you don't have to let people in your actual house.
Who's the coolest house you've been in?
Wow.
While you think about it, the one I always wanted to go to was Alan Jackson's ginormous mansion estate. You know, the one that they sold for like $20 million. Yeah. But that house had like eight other houses on the property.
Yep.
He had a runway as a pilot. He had a runway at his house. And
Aaron Tippin's got a runway at his house, grass one, but still.
Well, so is Alan's. Yeah. But I mean, he had like all these barns, so to speak, but they were... There were car showrooms, like Jay Leno's garage. I mean, just amazing. And I am so sad that I never got invited to go out there because I would be like, I would drop
hints. The new guy over there, Johnson, his last name's Johnson. He's a guy for the cars.com guy.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and he's got more cars than Alan.
Oh, wow.
And he's built a new barn.
In Alan's old house? I mean, that property?
Out in the field, yeah, on the same property.
Wow.
And apparently it's ridiculous.
Wow. Yeah, you know your house is pimp when some internet mogul buys it.
Yeah.
I'd have to say Reba's house when she lived here in Nashville was probably one of the nicest places I've seen. It was on Old Hickory Lake, and we were playing a softball game. Everybody was going over to Reba's after the softball game. Everybody. So everybody's wearing cleats, got red clay on it from the ball field. She's got white carpet in the entryway. Darling, just come on in.
What?
Just go through that door. It's at the back. White carpet, just trashed.
What?
Cleats, red clay, everybody.
Why?
Just come on in. She probably had to replace the next day. I don't know. But you get in the backyard.
I'm sure she did.
And it's the big pool and the multi-level bars and food setups. And, I mean, it looks like something off of a resort commercial. It's absolutely beautiful. And the house was gorgeous. Billy Ray Cyrus has a cool house. It's the one here in Tennessee. It's a replica of the Hermitage with the staircase and everything.
Why would you do that, though? Like, who knows what the Hermitage looks like well enough to go, is this house a replica of the Hermitage?
I had a friend from high school.
You know, you have to tell people that.
Her mom was such a big Dallas fan, they had their house built to be a replica of South Fork.
Wow.
Yeah. Dun, 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 dun. It's like, wow.
Well, you start talking about artists and their overblown houses. You got to talk about John Rich.
That's the coolest one in just an over the top cool way. Because, I mean, he's got the swimming pool on the roof
and the view from John Rich's rooftop.
Let's just describe the pool. The pool has showers and everything with it, it has a separate bathroom. It's got all it's got grass on the roof.
Right. But now let's talk about the swimming pool on the roof. It's 6 feet wide, it's like 12, 14 feet long. It's not a giant pool, but it's still, he's got a swimming pool on his roof.
Dude.
So the fact is it's deep enough that from the roof, when you're on the top floor, the next floor below the roof is the bar. And it isn't a bar. It's not like, oh, it's my bar. No, it holds like 150 people, and it has a stage and an upper level with a catwalk. And what is the word I'm looking for? Like the English language, but it's got like a balcony. Yeah, it's got like an upper level where people could sit up there too, so they could see the stage. And it's got a full stocked bar and everything. And
it's like the Wild Horse Saloon.
They have parties there. You go to I've been to John Rich's house. I've never been on the first, second, or third floor. You go up to the fourth floor, that's where the party's at. And then the fifth floor is the deck. And then the sixth floor is the roof is the pool. But from above the bar, there's like a big picture window that is the pool.
So whoever's
swimming
in the pool.
So when someone's swimming in the pool, you can see them from inside the bar. It's weird, and it's also super cool.
I think it's way cool.
It's the coolest. That's one of the coolest houses.
And the sniper roost. Don't forget the little sniper roost. Patrick's rolled his eyes.
I mean, I know
he's got a 50 cal up on the roof.
Just in case.
If someone gets their head blown off.
John Rich with a 50 cal.
John has a real 50 cal.
That's brilliant.
He has a Barrett 50 cal on his roof. Is it on a stand?
I don't know. I've never actually been invited up to the sniper roost. I'm kind of jealous.
Yeah, he's going.
I'm going to tell you what the view he's got from up there. That's the place.
Yeah. Yeah.
He's also got a really sweet Trans Am, like smoking the Bandit.
He still does. I think, if I'm not mistaken, it looks just like Burt Reynolds' car from Smoking the Bandit.
That's pretty sweet.
Obviously, I've never been invited to John's place, so I love hearing this.
That's pretty cool.
It's really
his neighbors love him.
No, they don't.
That's a lot of hate for no reason.
Well, I'll tell you that the biggest house I've seen. And she doesn't live there anymore, but it's Fontenelle that Barbara Mandrell built.
Mm-hmm. Well, Barbara Mandrell made so much money back in the day between the music and the TV stuff and all the
sure.
Yeah.
So rolling.
And it's open to the public. And if you go by Fontenelle, they got a restaurant out there. It's great winery and a lot of cool stuff. But the cabin, and I'm probably getting the story wrong, but her husband couldn't get what he wanted from the log cabin company, so he bought the cabin company.
Okay.
And
that's what I thought you said.
And the cabin is, I believe, 33,000 square feet.
Just the cabin.
Just the cabin. indoor pool, indoor gun range, party room after party room. It's wow. Insane, man. It's just built for entertainment. I don't see how you raise a family in there.
I do.
You'd never see them.
I know. You'd lose the kids.
Well, it's like Dolly. Remember Dolly was telling us? Dolly Parton has a closet that's several thousand square feet. Her closet.
But you know what? No kids to get lost in it. So that's part of it.
So it's okay.
That's what makes it okay. Because if you got a four-year-old and a thousand-square-foot closet, you're never going to find them. I'm just telling you right now, hide-and-seek is going to be a real challenge at your house. Where are you at? I'm under the coats. Which ones? It's bad.
The expensive ones.
Yeah. Which expensive ones?
Hey, working over the classic country formats and the legendary station, you get to see a lot of people come in over at SM.
Oh, absolutely.
Who was one of the coolest old school guys or girls came in that you got to spend some time with?
It was always great seeing Ronnie Millsap come in, because when he walks in, he's just a presence in the room. He just fills the room, and he's so positive, man. You can't be around that guy without just walking away.
And he
away.
Sings. He blurts out songs like in the middle. Yeah. You'll be talking to him, and he sings some words about it. And you're like, what? Wow.
Man, there's been so many. One of my favorite stories is bluegrass legend Del McCurry.
Yeah.
Everybody got him. I hadn't met him, and I was at the Opry, and he was backstage, and I walked up to him and I introduced myself. And I'd actually gone that night because I was really frustrated with trying to get the music straight for the radio station and everything. And so I needed a little simplicity in my brain. So I go up and I introduce myself. He says, yeah, it's nice to meet you. I know who you are. And he said, thanks for playing my song. He said, we've got one. It's called Lord, Who's That Boy That Sings It? I was just talking to him. He's out there on stage singing right now. I said, Ray Stevens? Yeah, Ray Stevens. That's who it is. He wrote a song called Misty. And I said, yes, sir. I'm playing it. It's a great, great version of that song. We won an award off that. Lord, what was that award called? It was a Grammy. That's what it was.
Seriously?
And I thought,
is he playing you?
This is him. And I thought, this is the best thing I could have done.
So he
all
was
night.
That humble?
That humble. Just move
it. Because I've seen people try to play it and be like, like they'll be like that, but you know it's a put on.
No. Oh, absolutely not. No, he is the real deal all the way down.
Wow.
Has no time for the games. Wouldn't even know how to play them, I don't think.
That's cool. That's so attractive. Like, you were so used to the
jaded
everyone
side
playing
of
games. And
right.
You're saying something and you know that they're just jockeying so that they can, they're only asking me how I am, so I'll ask how they are so they can tell me.
And he's not really somebody like that in showbiz, but they're in it to play music.
Yeah.
And do it very well. I mean, when he leaves the stage, there is nothing left. It's amazing.
So. I love bluegrass in general. I just love it.
Oh, it's a great field. Some great people in bluegrass. So
I'm always, we've always, you know, we love Charlie Daniels, and when Charlie comes on, it's Charlie. There is a lot of artists come in and they don't tell you exactly what they think. You know, they kind of tell you what you think you want them to think.
What they think they can get away with thinking.
Yeah. But he is so transparent, and he just, if you ask him, he's going to tell you.
He will tell you exactly what he thinks, and no qualms about it. You know, I got a picture of him and me on his 40th birthday, and I was 15, 16. I just started in radio, and it was in my high school annual.
Really?
And I showed that to him a few years ago, and he said, Lord, son, why didn't you tell me my belly was hanging out like that? You know, one of those big belt buckles looked like a hubcap, and he had a spit cup with him, you know.
It's about the same.
I wish somebody would have told me back in the day. Hey, man.
Like yesterday?
No. I mean,
Bubba, your belly's hanging out over here.
What I'm saying is, I didn't want to get to this point. You know, here's the thing. If people...
He wears the Speedo, and it looks like he ain't wearing nothing.
I mean,
if you just tell a little sooner.
We don't know what sexy is.
Well, it's a
he
fact.
He don't know either.
It is a fact. What happens is, we always notice we're fat once we're already fat. But when you're getting fat, your friends don't tell you you're fat.
Look, and
you know
I ain't been getting fat in a long time.
I know
time.
It's uncomfortable. But one thing we've always done is we go, man, you're getting bigger. And we make jokes about it to each other. But it's a way of us saying, hey, dude, watch yourself. Y'all have done that to me. I've done that to y'all. And I appreciate that.
Look, man, gravity wins in the end. I don't care how much you work out. Gravity will win in the end.
Seen the guys. I got a friend of mine. He was a competitive bodybuilder for years. And it's not that he like looks like me, but he's all that stuff. It just kind of falls, man.
Like Schwarzenegger, if you see Schwarzenegger without a shirt on right now.
Yeah, well, just for the record, Schwarzenegger without a shirt on still looks better than all of us. Okay, we're all making fun of him. Sadly. Oh, man, yeah. He looks old and saggy, not as bad.
Don't steal this from me.
Come on.
I'm making fun of that man.
No pain.
No pain, no pain. I like that.
Yeah. Who's your favorite in-studio performance from an artist?
Wow.
Anytime, ever.
Oh, my gosh.
Bubba, who's yours?
What a question.
You know, I'm going to say one that's going to be a little out there. Sarah Buxton Jed Hughes way back in the day. And they did Stupid Boy, which ended up becoming a hit for Keith Urban. Sarah had written it, and just hearing her sing it, there was so much pain. I mean, you know, the song is fantastic, Stupid Boy. If you don't know it, where have you been? But to hear her sing it was so powerful. I mean, that was probably my favorite, personal.
There is so much talent. So much talent, undiscovered talent.
Country music
too.
Is crazy.
It is. And it's hard to pick out my favorite. There have been so many, but I would say the one that really stuck in my mind was Brad Paisley was in on a show I was doing, a syndicated show. And we had played, you know, his new song and everything. And took phone calls. And I was going to ask him to play an acoustic song. And he had his guitar with him. And I said, just play whatever you want, which was completely off script. They had something they wanted him to play. And I said, just play what you want. And he played Good Old Boys, Don Williams. And it absolutely, I had a tear in my eye.
I didn't know he was a Don Williams fan.
He did that song so beautifully. It brought chills. I mean, it was just so great because he is Brad the real deal Paisley, man, in my opinion.
Well, we know what to do next time Brad comes by.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I love Don Williams, and his retirement broke my heart, man. Because we tried for years to get him to come into the studio.
Yeah, he won't do it.
But he wouldn't do it.
Won't do anything.
He wouldn't do it. He was just like, you know, not doing it.
Man.
I'm sitting here thinking how many incredible things have happened. Just, you know, I've been doing this with y'all just a long time. I can't. If I have to be selfish, I'm going to say it's Clint Black singing the Galaxy song.
That's cool.
Like we've been trying to get Clint Black on the show for 15 years. In studio, and we play the Galaxy song from D'Electrified and sing along with it
just to amuse ourselves every now and then.
Yeah, and he came in and we're like, could you play? I thought he was going to say, you know, I don't know the words to the Galaxy song off the top of my head, right?
He used to do it in concert, though, for
and
years.
And then he just...
Hey, Carson.
He nailed it. He knew all of it. We sang along. It was...
He was blown away that we actually
were singing
along. He's
like, wow, you really know the words, don't you? Yeah, we do.
I was listening to y'all's stories, and I wanted to hear them for myself in person.
Aww.
Who is your favorite in-studio performance that you've ever seen at a radio station?
Oh, my. Wow, that was putting me on the spot.
Yeah. We can skip you and make D do it.
Yeah, but let's make D do it.
I would say one of my favorites was when...
Menudo?
Yeah, we had Menudo come in.
Yeah, he's awesome. Wearing the t-shirt today, by the way.
Yeah, well.
That's a classic.
I know it's a little tight, but you know what? I'm a legit fan. Who was really good? Maybe, Who did the last teardrop?
Clay Walker.
Clay Walker.
Yeah, right after. Oh my gosh.
Freddie Fender.
Freddie Fender died.
Like a day or two days. Yeah,
2 days after Clay Walker comes in and we start talking. He's like, you know, I just recorded a song with him. He's like, I just spent time with him a week ago. Hmm. And we're like, are you kidding me? And he just proceeds to dive into Before the Next Teardrop Falls, which is to me still one of the greatest daddy daughter songs ever. And he plays that, and I started bawling. It was magic. I'm about to bawl again because I can totally relive that moment.
Sure.
Look at this. These
Legit tears.
There it is, man.
Legit.
I was like, that was good.
Can you zoom in on that?
Hey, man, it's okay. You can do it in here. We're still going to make fun.
I held it back now.
Carson Hoosiers? It's going to be like Guns N' Roses or something.
Yeah, she's
dude,
if you had ever seen
Guns N' Roses sitting in the studio, would that not be yours?
Did you see that I was in the Guns N' Roses video?
Yes.
Yeah. Yes, you and 40,000 other people.
400 other people. Yeah, but if you pause it and really squint, you can totally see it.
By the way, I saw that you posted it on Facebook. I made their video, and I'm like, I went looking for you. I'm like, was that her? And everything goes by so fast, and so I'm like, oh, I'm backing it up on my phone, and I'm hitting pause. And
thankfully, she posted the screenshot.
Yeah.
And with a circle around her.
Oh, yeah, there you are. It's like a big wide shot of 50,000 people.
So what is your favorite of all time in-studio performances?
I don't think I've seen as many as you guys have. I don't think I'm as cool as y'all, because I'm trying to think.
It doesn't matter, though.
That's an age
matter.
Reference, I believe.
No, it doesn't matter, though.
No, that's like because you guys are just more successful than me.
Dang. All right.
That's right.
You're
working.
What? We'll take it.
You don't get this job by being dumb. No, I'm trying to think who I've heard, who I've seen. There's no one that really sticks out, and that's terrible. But, who blew me away? Acoustic, just her standing with a microphone was Martina McBride.
Yeah.
That's it. She came to our station and I was like, wow, she just sounds like that.
Yeah.
It was insanely good.
Yeah.
She needs no effects on her voice, man.
Now,
I'll never forget when we had, it was from the old Nashville Star Days.
Oh, when they were filming that?
And they came in, they brought in all the guys and all the girls. And they wanted us to do some sort of a interview, every single one of them.
Oh, so like God. We could have on Monday, we'd have this person Tuesday, have that person Wednesday.
So sure. We're taping all this stuff and it's like, it's monotonous, man. It's like cookie cutter, next. And this girl gets in, I can't remember her name, and she... And some of them are going to perform. And so she
They all performed.
They all did.
Yeah.
So she gets in there. I think she had a guitar player. Mm-hmm. And she starts going. We're recording. We're like, okay, here's this girl with singing now. Go ahead. And she starts singing. And she stops. She goes, oh, I'm sorry. Because she messed up. Hey, it's no problem. It happens. We're taping. So it doesn't. We want you to sound good. Final product. Starts again. She messes up.
Can't hit the note.
I think she did it maybe one more time before she asked. Do you guys have auto-tune that you can just turn on?
Now, I've heard you tell that story 100 times, but it's been a long time since you've said that much detail. I think you might have given a little bit of it.
Man.
A little bit more than we usually give. But yeah, that really, really happened.
And we're like, nope.
No, we don't.
And oddly enough, somebody didn't make it to the next week. On the show.
How did she get on at all?
Sometimes on American Idol, on The Voice, whatever, they let people through that baffles you.
She was cute.
Oh, all right. There you are.
The package. Yeah.
She looked good. She looked great, but.
It's a shame for radio.
Yeah.
Her looks weren't helping.
Lucky for us, we all look good, too.
I know. Let me tell you. I was just looking at the video to see if if I have a bald spot, because,
I never see
the top of my head.
You've got so much hair.
I think it looks, because of the red light, it looks like I have a bald spot.
Don't have a bald spot.
No. It does, kind of.
It does. I either spot or it's just the light is really
bad.
You
could have a yarmulke.
Let's just start telling him he has a bald spot.
Hey, Carson!
Oh, I'm with you.
I'm going to get some of that spray paint. You put them back your head.
That okay. works,
I,
man.
I
He has long thought about getting plugs.
No, really? Up. That wasn't what I was going to say.
You look like a dog, man.
That's not what I was going to say, you terrible person.
There was a comedian that actually came into the studio we found out had plugs, and they were
he wasn't shy about it. Like, he's going up to D going, go ahead, pull it. Pull it.
He's good.
D was fascinated.
I'm telling you, they look great. I would have never guessed, ever, that wasn't his hair.
And then he showed a picture of him before it, and we were like all blown away.
And he can swim and shower.
Oh,
and
and live a full active life.
You're not supposed to say his name.
Did I didn't say his name?
Yes. That's a fun comedian.
I don't think it's a... Yeah, no.
Is okay, it not so, a secret? I don't. Who cares? Tom Mabe is the one who did it.
Yeah, he doesn't care.
So they looked unbelievable. It was unbelievable, and I was like, "Wow!" Because like I can never figure. Like Tim, I don't know what's going on with Tim.
His looks pretty good now, and better than like Joe Biden. People go, "Oh, you think that's hair plugs? Are you kidding me? Look at some pictures."
Oh, Joe Biden.
Google Joe Biden hair plugs.
It looks like when you edge your driveway, that sides. You know what I'm talking about? It's too perfect.
I've never noticed. I'm
it's
totally
too
googling
perfect.
This now. I said I'm googing it.
So can guys,
you goog it.
Do you guys pick out plugs the way girls?
Okay, first off, we don't pick out plugs there.
Well, this room is plug free.
No. I feel like listening to guys talking about plugs is the way that women talk about women who have been enhanced. That we can spot fake from a mile away.
Yeah, I guess so.
But I never know if a guy's had hair plugs. It would never even cross my mind.
Some of these, I can't. I had the guy that I was friends with through a mutual friend, and I knew him, but I knew him great. And we're having breakfast one day, and I've hung around him for probably at this time 8 months. And we're having breakfast, and this guy walks in with a really bad rug. I mean, it was like it wasn't even straight. And he walks in, and I go, "Oh, wow, you think that's real?" And he goes, I said, no, and he didn't look at the guy. I go, no, the guy looking at that. He goes, what is it? Is it, you can tell? I go, yeah, I can tell. Look at it. And he goes, and he starts messing with his hair. And he says, no, I meant, and he stopped. And I went, do you have a thing? He goes, you didn't know that? I go, no. He goes, I thought you knew that. I go, no, I didn't. Are you kidding me? So he pulls it up, and I can see like there's like a line or whatever, and it's like glued or taped or something.
Taped.
Yeah, it was Stapled? Crazy. But wow. It looked legit. It looked really good.
Yeah. I'm looking at Biden's.
Either they're really good or I just don't see it.
I'm looking
well.
At Biden's now, and I'm looking at the before and after pictures, and they've got young Biden and now Biden, and it's pretty dramatic. But I will say this, even the now... I wouldn't have known.
I didn't know.
I wouldn't either.
I didn't know.
I'm telling you, the most unfortunate thing I've ever seen was a gentleman that was doing opening a business here in Nashville, and I was working on the project, and he was from Chicago, and he would come down to check on the project. It was a nightclub years and years ago, and he obviously wore a hairpiece, and he had a lot of them. Because he would start with a short hair piece, and over time...
No, he did not.
It would grow.
Are you kidding?
And then he would get his haircut, and he would go back to the short hair piece.
Oh, my God.
So
talk
he had like a schedule?
It.
Right, right. And he traveled with these, all right? I am not kidding you. He would come down to Nashville, and he would party way too hard. And we finally started noticing on one night his hair would be short. On one night it would be pretty long. The next night it would be short. The next night,
he would forget.
And you know, you just don't want to tell him. So,
man, you must be taking your vitamins.
Yeah.
It's like my dad, remember?
Oh, God.
My dad is the best. My dad went gray, right? So he goes gray. And he's
not gray, like why, like,
yeah,
this
like
is,
silver.
Yeah, he was really gray.
Dad goes extremely gray. Well, then, they don't live here, so they come back to visit like 6 months after I'd seen him last, and he walks in, and he's got red hair. And my dad never had red hair.
Yes, yes.
So he's standing there, and I'm waiting until everybody's gone. I said, "Hey, Dad,
yeah,
what's up with the red hair?" And he just kind of giggled, and he goes,
Mom made me change vitamins and
No, Dad. That's not a vitamin fix. They didn't.
Oh yeah, she did. She made me change them, and that's what they do.
Glasses.
He would not. He would not let go of the vitamin thing. So I'm like, okay.
To this day.
To this day. And then, like, funny thing is it's gray again.
Why stop using those?
Stop using those vitamins. I guess went back to his old vitamins.
I guess
that's what happens when you buy generic.
Sweet, sweet, sweet. All right, well, Dean, it's good to see you, man.
Hey, good seeing you all.
And we wish you the best. And you're a good guy, man. We just aren't. We always try. You know, here's a secret for life. Try and surround yourself with really good people, not only who are smart, but people who are just good. Because it pays off. It may not pay off immediately. And you know what? There are times where you may be like, oh, if I had done this other way, I could be where that guy is or girl is and be way up on the ladder. But you know what happens is that doesn't last. It never lasts because it's built on lies and deceit and all that stuff.
Have a little character and treat people good.
Yeah, because in the long run, it comes through. And if you can think that way, you're going to be way better off. I can't tell you how many people we've seen in our industry, which is a very small industry. And we've seen guys do all that only to have them get turned on by their own dogs.
You know,
they get surrounded and they think they're part of this pack. You know, these guys who are just running and, you know, I'm flying into the city to go fire some people. And their own people, their own guys turn on them and eat their own.
There's always somebody higher up who's going to fly in to fire you.
Yep. That's right. So when you pull up and you see a rental car in the parking lot.
Something that doesn't look right.
The Axeman's in town.
You know, he's there. Anything else that
I think we've pretty much covered it. I got to go collect some Pokemon and
I have to go to a Pokestop.
No, I have to because I need some more Pokeballs.
Yeah. No.
Yeah, he's one of them.
I have been playing Pokemon with my kids and it's fantastic. Go ahead and say what you want, but you know what? My kids all want dad. I have a date today with my daughter and her friend. I'm picking them up and we're going to a bunch of Pokestops to collect Pokeballs and all that other stuff. So before you hate on that.
To what end?
To however long they want to play this, I will do it. I'm a dad of kids, and they're at that age where they're like, they don't really want to hang out with dad anymore. And you know what? She's 12 years old, and if she and her friend want me to go drive them around to go so they can collect Pokemon, I'm in.
Well, I'm all for that. That's very cool.
It's actually kind of fun because like I'll collect some while they're not home, and I'm like, hey, look what I got for you. Can't wait till they let us trade. And then,
but when you catch them all, do they at least roll credits or something?
I don't know. I haven't caught them all yet.
Have you invested any money in it yet?
No.
Duh.
Okay, so you're not buying the extra.
No, that's why I go around all the Pokestops.
That's why I'm just making sure you haven't gone to that monetary level.
Have you seen Nintendo stock?
No. Yes.
Oh, yeah.
You want to talk money? Man.
Yes.
Hey, didn't they just come out with that new Nintendo, the old retro?
Yeah, it's like a micro Nintendo, and it's loaded with like 30 games.
Yeah. But there's no cartridges. It's already loaded, so there's no need to ever blow on a cartridge, which means kids today won't understand the magic of the game froze up, and magically your breath cured it. It fixed it.
I got Jesus breath.
How did we believe that helped? But somehow we all bought into it, a whole generation.
It did work, dude. It did work.
I don't know what kind of sensitive hair trigger this electronics were on, but our breathing on it actually fixed it. If they'd only done that in Apollo 13. It would have been a lot better.
All right. So I do want to thank Subway for being our sponsor for the podcast. By the way, if you've not subscribed on iTunes or any of the podcast channels that you watch us on, do that. That way you never miss an episode. Same thing for Facebook. Those who watch on Facebook Live, you can click up in the right-hand corner of the video and it says subscribe or something like that. Do that and you'll be taken care of there. Subway, sweet onion, chicken teriyaki, new rotisserie-style chicken sandwiches, handcrafted with chicken raised without antibiotics. And both of these sandwiches are way better for you. They're low in fat, super delicious. And the sweet onion chicken teriyaki sandwich has new teriyaki glazed chicken strips and tangy fat-free sweet onion sauce. Love that. They also have the rotisserie-style chicken made with tender, juicy, hand-pulled all-white meat. Chicken, it's awesome. And you can make them even more delicious with crisp green peppers, red onions, lettuce, tomatoes, all on freshly baked bread. The Subway Sandwich Shop Fresh is what we do. I should have had Dean do it.
Oh, you
I should have Dean read it because he's like the professional.
That, man. I couldn't
fresh
follow that.
Fresh is what we do.
Fresh. They'll get you on there fresh.
Yeah.
Thank you. All right. So thanks again, Dean, for coming in.
Hey, thank you. Good seeing you.
This was the podcast, but now it's over. But that's okay because you can listen to the regular show.
Where?
On the radio.
Oh, yeah.
Every day. It was the podcast.
Bye.